This is Andrew Goldberg, writer for InLacrosseWeTrust.com and host of MLL Roundtable. I'm here speaking with head coach of the Chesapeake Bayhawks, Coach Dave Cottle. Dave, thanks for joining me tonight. How are you doing?
Doing great, Andrew. Thanks for talking about the Bayhawks.
Yeah, so you guys are not strangers to having a busy offseason. Last year, you guys made a bunch of moves, including acquiring your former player, Joe Walters, and now current player. And this year, a couple days ago, actually, you guys made the huge move in acquiring Matt Dynowski from the Charlotte Hounds. And my question to you is, how is he going to factor into the offense this year, especially with the fact that you have so many weapons on offense, especially on attack with Drew Westerfelt and Brendan Mundorf, as well as Ben Rubior?
Well, if you look at our team, Andrew, Brendan Mundorf had a knee operation on December 4th, so we don't know when we're going to get him back. So that's the first question on it. And Drew Westerfelt's playing for the Colorado Mammoth, and right now they're 2-0, so this was a trade. One is that we could get Matt Dynowski to play some games in April where we knew we wouldn't be able to get the other guys. And secondly, we had kind of a trial run at the MLL All-Star game. We had Drew Westerfelt playing with Matt Dynowski. We had Kevin Crowley. We had Joe Walters. And in fact, all those guys won extra man against Team USA. And I saw how well they played together, so I kind of got a free run at looking at it at the All-Star game. So we're excited about Matt. He's accomplished everything that a player can accomplish individually. And his whole goal of wanting to come to Chesapeake was to do whatever it took for us to be a better team. And with the injuries that we have and the guys that are playing indoor lacrosse, we needed somebody to be a leader early in the season. And we think Matt's the perfect guy for that.
Have you spoken to Matt since acquiring him a couple days ago and kind of talked to him about how, I guess, specifically he would fit into the offense? I know you obviously you just mentioned that he worked pretty well with Drew and Kevin Crowley, who was not on your team, but he worked well with Drew on the man up in the All-Star game. But did you get a chance to speak with him?
I did. Well, Kevin Crowley is on the Bayhawks.
Yeah, that is my mistake. Yep. Yep.
And I have. And again, Drew, Matt wrote a great email to our team, basically telling him he'll do anything he can to help us win. And I'm just going to Matt Dynowski. He's going to be playing. You know, if you look at Drew Westerfelt's record throughout his career in the MLL, he scored the same amount of points in six or seven of his years when he was behind the goal. The one year that he had an outstanding year, which was 2 years ago, he was in front of the goal. And this allows us, with Matt Dynowski, to put Drew Westerfelt back in front of the goal. So we run a lot of the same stuff that Matt ran it when he was at Duke. We run some of the same stuff that he runs at Charlotte. So I think it's going to be a real easy switch for Matt to come play for the Bayhawks.
So obviously the biggest or most notable acquisition was acquiring Matt Dynowski, but you guys also lost Kyle Dixon, who is probably one of the better MLL players lacrosse players to come through the MLL. He retired this offseason. What kind of legacy do you think he leaves behind in the MLL? And a second part of that question is, who do you think could step up into his spot?
Well, it's a good question. Kyle is the all-time leading two-point scorer in MLL history. And he played the center top for us in the 3-3, which was a very integral part of our extra man offense. Matt Dynowski plays that same spot. So that was another reason for getting him, besides just being a great player and a great teammate. He fills a spot that we really needed some assistance in there, and it'll allow Drew to play his spot and Joey to play his spot and the other guys to play there. So that is regarding Kyle. You know, he was injured last year. He missed a bunch of games through injuries. So, four or five games. And so we couldn't not only, he retired this year, and he's just a first-class human being and was a great player in this league, and we're going to miss him.
Yeah, he definitely was. I mean, I know when I was watching, or I mean, growing up and following the sport, he was one of the biggest names, you know, playing, and he was one of the best players. So last season, you guys acquired a lot of great players on offense, and obviously, you were coming off back-to-back championships in Chesapeake, and you were looking for a three-peat. And last season, you didn't really have, I guess, the season that everyone thought you were going to have. Everyone thought you were going to be this big juggernaut to walk through the league, including myself. But it turns out you guys kind of had a down league. A lot of it, I guess, had to deal with, you know, injuries, I think, especially to Kip Turner, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, how hard is it that to, I guess, three-peat? I mean, it's hard to win a championship. It's even harder to go back-to-back. But explain to everybody how hard it is to win three in a row. Yeah, and unfortunately that ended, that saw your season end prematurely than winning another MLL championship. But let's get to the supplemental draft, because I thought you guys made a couple interesting moves. You drafted Jovan Miller, Matt Strebel, and Sam Bradman in the supplemental draft. Were you surprised to get any of those guys? Because if you look at just name brand wise, those are three really big names, and Strebel was just a couple years ago one of the better MLL players, and Sam Bradman was one of the most exciting college players to come out just a couple years ago as well, and then he had come from the LXM Pro Tour when the MLL and LXM merged. I mean, were you surprised to get any of those guys? Yeah, so actually I was going to get to those guys you mentioned. I mean, Ben McIntosh was one of the best players, especially offensively and especially as kind of a guy who could really stretch the offense at Drexel last year. Lovejoy and Hips were probably two of the best defensemen while they played in college lacrosse at different times. I mean, out of those three, do you think that any of those players are going to, I guess, help the team more than the other?
Well, you know, Matt Lovejoy is a guy that we've always respected. And, you know, right now where he's living in California, and we're trying to get him to come out and play again. He took a year off, and I think he's a guy that's been a proven starter in the league. I think Chris Hips is an interesting guy. You know, tall, rangy, played down low for Duke, may probably be a better ball, played football at SMU this year. You know, and is a guy that we, you know, we think has a chance to be a pretty good player in this league. So, but I do think Matt Strebel, I think Sam Bradman and Ben McIntosh and Jovan Miller and those guys, you know, Jovan was on our team last year, and I loved him. He did everything the right way. He was such a gentleman and practices hard, but he just was coaching. And now with our schedule being on Sundays, he can be at more games. So that's the reason why we picked him up. And he's got a great opportunity to come to play for us this year, especially while I got in the indoor league. So we thought we drafted for, you know, both need and good player. And hopefully we'll find out if we were right a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, so speaking of the MLL Collegiate Draft, which you alluded to just a couple questions ago, it's coming up next weekend. I mean, what kind of players are you trying to target? I mean, last year you guys were trying to, I guess, go for it all and make that third championship run. You guys had a lot of veterans on the team. And even the year before, you had a team stacked with veterans with a couple younger players kind of sprinkled in. Do you look for the most talented players or the guys who are closer in proximity to Maryland? Because with a lot of these players, you're talking about the travel issues and they're playing in the NLL as well. So, I mean, what goes into drafting, you know, at this point in the collegiate draft?
Well, I have a theory on that. One is that this draft, it's tougher in our draft than it is in the football drafts and the baseball drafts, because we're drafting with a full four-year career. You know, and what I mean by that is we don't get to see them play their senior year. So there is seems to me there's a lot more mistakes made in the draft. That's why you see a Dave Lawson going in the fifth round, a Cox going sixth or seventh round, because there's a lot of mistakes. So saying that is one of the reasons with the Madnowski trade is we in pick three, there are about 9 or 10 attackmen are there. I didn't think any of them were better than Madnowski for one. But what we did was we wound up getting pick 9 back. And what we're gonna, what I think about this draft, it may be, I think it's very deep to like pick 30 to 35. And I think there's a lot of blood and guts guys. And I'm looking for athletic kids that are tough, that are good character kids to supplement some of the talented players that we have. So I think there's a lot of those guys in the draft. Good shorties, good face-off guys, good attackmen. So I think this draft is very deep on attack. And we may be able to get an attackman out of this draft.
So, I mean, you seem kind of low on the draft. I mean, you kind of said, you know, there's not a lot of defensemen that you like, but you said it's very deep, like, I guess, 1 through 30, you say. I mean, is there, I guess, one position, like, how would you compare this draft compared to other drafts in the past, in the last couple of years? I mean, you have Lyle Thompson, who may be the best player to come out. I mean, it's so hard to even say that because there's so many great players that come out. Peter Baum, Rob Punnell were the number one picks the last couple of years. But do you think he's, I guess, the best since Paul Rabel maybe, or maybe the most hype since Paul Rabel? I mean, is there a big drop-off from Lyle Thompson on down in the second tier in terms of players?
Well, what it is the top-end players are all going to be indoor players. And so what you've got to do as a drafter, you've got to decide if you're going to take a guy who's going to miss, you know, miss 6 or 7 games to start off the season, and then every year after that, miss 6 or 7 games. So that's going to be the dilemma for the teams drafting. While starting in April, we're going to miss box guys. So do you want an indoor guy? Do you not want an indoor guy? So besides geography, which you asked me about, like I say, I think somebody, if you need an attackman, you're going to get one in the draft. I think it's 15 deep. So of that top 30 I told you, there may be 15 of them that are attacked. There only may be five defensemen. There's five faceoff guys. There's a couple goalies. So for us, character and toughness is the most important attribute. If geography fits, that's very important. And then the ability to get them to play for years is the next thing. Because I've studied our last three championship teams. We had seven players was drafted on our team on one team. We had eight on another team. And we had 10. And so the draft is not exactly the only way you can build in this league. And no one's building with the draft alone. So a combination of acquiring good players and drafting is the way to get them to go about it.
So last question for me. You're talking about, the difficulty of the draft. Obviously it's earlier than it has been, I think, the last 3 or 4 years, because now you're drafting before you see seniors play their final season. So guys' stock can actually increase or decrease based on where you drafted them and after one season. And also there could be undrafted guys that all of a sudden could be hot commodities. So do you think the MLO draft should actually be pushed back some until after the season like they did in the past? And also, do you think they should start the NLL season earlier or start the MLL season later?
Well, there's a couple questions there. The first thing I would say, for the teams that are drafting, it would be better if the draft was held later. I'm not sure we have to wait to the end of the season. With college teams playing games in February, does it have to be at the convention anymore? I don't, the convention isn't the reason why we should be doing it in January. If we could draft in March 1st, we could probably see guys play 5 or 6 games. I think it would be a better draft then. That's the first thing. I would move the draft back. The second, what was the second question you asked me, Andrew?
Yeah, so the second question, should they move the start date or end date of the NLL season and or the MLL season? Because of the conflict you talked about where you have some of these players, especially the top-end college players, that may be playing in the NLL, and also you have a lot of your own top players playing in the NLL, and you have guys who can miss 6 or 7 games because they're playing the indoor game before they transition to the outdoor game.
Right, there's three classes of people that are affected by the early start. The indoor players, the college players, and also the college and high school coaches. And so, to me, anything that affects three classes of players, my own personal opinion, is that we should try to find a way to, we want to promote the best players, that play indoor. We want to promote coaches and stuff like that are good players in the league, and there's so many of them. So, in a perfect world, you'd like to see the indoor and the outdoor working together. So, because the bottom line is, it's a players' league. All of them are players' leagues. And we should do all we can to help the players generate the most revenue that's possible. So this is my opinion now. The league has got a different opinion. They want to see if it'll be like football, where you play college on Saturday and pro on Sunday at the beginning of the year. We'll find out if that's successful or not. But, anything for me that helps the players, get paychecks in both leagues, if we could work this out, would make more sense to me.
Yeah, and there's also the injury factor. Guys are worn down from the NLL season, and before they can get a break and kind of recuperate from the pounding they take on a somewhat harder surface in the NLL game, they go right to the outdoor game in the MLL, and it's a whole different animal because you got the long sticks, you're playing on grass, and you're dealing with the environment and the conditions when you play outside of the indoor game. It's harder, all short sticks, a lot more in tight stuff. It's just kind of very drastic in terms of those factors. A couple more questions here. Dave Cottle, head coach of the Chesapeake Bay Hawks. So the MLL has so much talent. I've been seeing it, especially the last couple of years. You see a lot of big names being traded because there are so many good players coming up in the college ranks. Do you think the MLL should expand? And if you do, should they expand? What cities should they expand to? The first couple that come to mind for me are going back to Philadelphia, where they had the Barrage, and maybe New Jersey. They do have a strong base. I'm from New Jersey, But in terms of getting people to come to games, it's very hard. So, I mean, what do you think about expanding the MLL in the next year or so?
We have the players to expand. There's no question about that. So I think our league and our commissioner would like to expand, and I think all the players would. It gives more people an opportunity to play. I think the key is it's not only location, and you have to look at it from a business perspective. You've got to find somebody that's willing to invest 5 years into marketing, promoting, have a great place to play. So the key is going to be ownership. You know, to me, the Denver Outlaws are the model of the league. If I was the commissioner, I would be trying to find other NFL teams with NFL stadiums that have ticket salespeople, that have season ticket people and everything like that. I think that's the model. With Boston moving their games to, Patriot Place and everything like that, that could kind of help us. But pro sports franchises, if we can get involved in this league, I think would really help us grow. And they know how to run an organization. They know how to draw people. They have great facilities. That seems to be the way to go. I would really lean on franchises that have that pro backing.
So do you think, I'm just spitballing an idea here, do you think the MLL should think about maybe playing a game or two in, say, let's say, I don't know, L.A., and instead of, you know, obviously they don't have an NFL stadium, but they do have a very historic college stadium in the Rose Bowl for UCLA and obviously, you know, the BCS Bowls, as well as the L.A. Coliseum. You know, they went to Atlanta, Georgia this year, and I think they played either on the campus of Mercer or what's it called?
Ball State, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they've expanded to playing a championship game somewhere else. Do you think they should do that to try? I mean, it's also growing the game because you're playing it in somewhat of a hotbed, especially in California now, and you can play it in a place where players are going to think, wow, this is such a cool experience playing in the Rose Bowl where, you know, it has so much rich history in terms of football games.
I think our commissioner probably agrees with what you're saying, you know, by playing a game in Atlanta last year. And,
right.
And I think there's some news coming out where they're going to play. The All-Star game might be in a different city. They had a team out in L.A. and it wasn't successful before, but it doesn't mean you can't go back. But I think Commissioner Gross is looking to do those kind of things, just exactly what you're saying.
Right. And last question here. Thank you for your time, obviously. I'm a big Terps fan, Coach Cottle, and I know you coach there. Do you have any? I know you have been very supportive of Coach Tillman. What do you see from the Terps this year? I mean, they're a very young team. They lost some very good players this year, especially Nico Amato and Net, who was an actual stud in Net in all 4 years while he was at Maryland. Coach Cottle, thank you very, very much for your time. A lot of interesting answers to the questions, and obviously my brain fart with Kevin Crowley because, you know, I don't know. I just had a brain fart. It's been a long day. But thank you very much. Maybe I'll see you at the MLL Collegiate Draft this coming week, next week.
I plan on being there, Andrew, so I hope to meet you.
All right. Sounds good, Coach Cottle. Thank you very much. That is Coach Cottle. On InLacrosseWeTrust.com, two-time MLL champion. Best of luck to you this season.
Hey, Andrew. Bye-bye.